Okay. Amen, brother.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you, Brother Tim.
You're welcome.
Everyone say praise the Lord. Good to be in the house of the Lord, isn't it?
Yes. Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Brother Reggie, was say something for the Lord. Brother Reggie. Amen.
He's always in charge. If you're talking about that, sister, God is always in charge. I just
right.
want to give God all the honor and glory because he, without him, I would not be where I am today. I'm blessed. I got a wife and three boys.
Sure.
I'm just so glad that God is on the throne of my life. Sometimes.
All right.
Maybe not all the time, you know, church. Maybe I don't always let him be Lord at some time, but I'm thankful that he always gives me that desire to make him Lord again, that I can find that place of repentance. Because the Bible talks about, except the Spirit of the Lord draw a man, there's no hope for that person unless God
draws them. Right.
Yeah. I'm thankful that God has drawn me and led me, and I'm just glad that God's always on the throne. I just can't get that out of my head, that God is always concerned about where we're at. He never lets us out of his hand.
Amen.
Sometimes I was telling the sister, you know, we know that God's got us in his hand, and sometimes it feels like we fall between the fingers. Oh, there we go. Oh, there goes the church. Oh, no. No. It feels like that, but we've always been in his hand. Not one second does he let us out of his hand.
All right, brother.
God is in charge. I'm glad that God is on his throne. The Bible, when you study the Word of God and how powerful his church is, he says he will accomplish his work through his church. Nothing is going to stop God.
Right.
I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful I know that God's on the throne and he's leading us to greater depths and heights in the Lord, that we can get closer to him.
Yes, sir.
He can flow through us more, and we can be led by the Spirit. We know that Paul, his shadow, healed people. I think God's going to do that again through his church.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Through his church. I mean, somehow I just want to let God be God. Just let God do his work. And I'm thankful to know, even in this church, when God calls a husband and wife to an area, he calls them and anoints them, and he makes them the light bearers for that area. Amen.
Oh, sure.
Just because the good pastor passed away doesn't mean there's not still a light bearer.
That's right.
And God, it seems like God gives the same anointing, almost the same anointing to the wife as he does, you know, to the minister that's come. So I believe God can still use you, sister, to give wisdom and give direction and still be.
All right.
Because when God sets something up, he does it through channels of authority, doesn't he? He studies the Word of God. So God anoints that special office that says you need to be wisdom and light and direction to this city and this church. So I just want to encourage you that God is still working. God has never left us. He takes things that seem like he lets things happen sometimes, doesn't he? He lets life happen, but he takes that and somehow always
right.
works good out of it. Always. I just want to give God the glory. He's so good. I've done things in my life that I kind of said, no, I'm going to do it my way, Lord. But somehow in the midst of that, he showed me good. He worked good out of it.
Right.
Amen.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory. Yes. Thank God. Amen, brother. Council drove me down here, kind of my chauffeur, and I appreciate that so much. Traveling all the miles we do, it's good to get some relief and have good fellowship. Praise God. So we're glad he's able to be here tonight. And the same as all of you, we're glad you're here in the house of God, giving honor to Sister Meyer and the church and Brother Tim and all of you. We just want to continue on what we started the last service from our assurance policy in Psalms 91. Now I'm going to start with the last scripture we read because I never finished it. And that's Psalms 91 and verse 4. If you want to be turning to that, and do want to say that the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God that we can even live for him. Amen. So let's read from Psalms 91, 4, and we'll try to get on with the rest of our assurance policy. Of course, from Psalms 91, 1, he said, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And the word to consider there is he that dwelleth, E-T-H, means a continuation of. Amen. And that's the only way we're going to get good things from God is continue on. And to let God move for us in these last days. Hallelujah. So let's continue on with that in Psalms 91 I know I won't get to elaborate a whole lot on some of these scriptures because we was talking before church, you're about to stay on Psalms 91 for the rest of the year. Amen. And have plenty to say about it. But I'm going to try to hurry through it and just highlight it and let us realize something. Amen. God is on our side. And we're on His side if we love Him. We've been born again, baptized in His name, filled with the Holy Ghost. Praise God. He has great things in store, as Brother Campson was saying, for the end time church. And I am glad He has. That gives me hope in the midst of a dark generation, in the midst of a nation that the economic system has almost totally destroyed a lot of it and all that's going on around us. But thank God there's hope in the Word of God and every exceeding great and precious promise He's given unto you and I. 2 Peter 1:4 called them His exceeding great and precious promises. Well, we're reading some of those here from our assurance policy. This is a lot better than the insurance policy, our assurance policy. Amen. He shall cover thee with His feathers. We covered that part. Under His wings shalt thou trust. You know, we ended with that last week or Sunday morning, whenever it was. And there was something I never mentioned. I had collected old Bibles through the years, especially back through the 70s, a lot of used books. You could find a lot of them then you never find now. And every town I'd go into, every city, I'd find the used bookstore. Amen. Or sometimes the churches would have like book sales, used book sales, whatever. And I collected a lot through that and different, you know, sometimes yard sales if they're religious minded, whatever. But I found this old Bible years ago and I was really intrigued, you know, Brother Tim, what's people pasted like 40, 50, 60 years ago in the backs of those Bibles. You know, Sister Mar, what they'd cut out. And one was Ripley's Believe It or Not, showed a picture of a bird. And what it was this bird's nest at these people's house. Well, they didn't pay much attention to that bird's nest, I think, until, if I remember right what it said, until, you know, the little birds had hatched out. And, of course, they matured enough that they could fly on their own and get out. And they happened to notice something in that nest. So they climbed up and got that bird's nest. And it was paper, because the birds, when they build a nest, they just get twigs and this and leaves and whatever. And it had a piece of paper. And so they took and pulled the paper out of that nest, and they opened the paper, and it was Psalms 91:4. Isn't that amazing? Amen. Some things just don't happen by accident. I'm serving a precise God. Amen. And I'll tell you what, He is precise. So let's go on with, it said this, His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. His truth. John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth, for thy what? Word is truth. So I'm glad that we have 66 books of truth, and we can know we got to be born again, according to John 3:1-8. In connection with Acts 2:38, it said, repent and be baptized. Every one of you, didn't say some of you, said every one of you, how? In the name of Jesus Christ, why? For remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now we know that blood remits sin. The book of Hebrews 9:22 said, almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without the shedding of blood is no remission. Now many scriptures don't have time for that, but think about it. Remissions through and with the blood. The blood's what remits sin. Yes. Amen. Remember, it said, without shedding of blood is no remission. So Acts 2:38 again said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Why? For remission. There's that word again. The blood is in the name. When you apply the name, the blood's applied. When you speak the name, the blood's applied. You know, I know people say, I plead the blood. And that's fine. I'm not knocking that. But if we say in the name of Jesus Christ, the blood's automatically there because the blood is in the name. That's why the name of Jesus Christ, when you're buried in that name and baptized, the blood that's in that name remits your sin. Nothing else will do it but the blood. So the blood is in the name. I just want to stress that before we go on with that. And that's how we begin to get our assurance policy. Praise God. Amen. That's how we can enter into receiving our assurance policy, is being born again. Hallelujah. But notice, His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. His truth, that covers a lot, doesn't it? Amen. Not partaking of pagan holidays. No, all the garbage that goes with all that stuff. Halloween demon possessed devil worship and everything else going on. That's a part of our truth. Amen. Our wholeness and modesty and all these things. The truth on the end time. It goes on and on and on. And he said, thy truth shall be thy shield and buckler. That's why when you and I get in a tight spot, we can just call on the name of Jesus Christ. And he steps on the scene and says, hey, just stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. But let's read verse 5. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night. You know, the Lord spoke of those that love darkness because their deeds were evil. And you know, the night's when the devil loves to work, isn't it? Work in darkness where he can't be seen. I know the Philippine Islands, the daytime, you don't have much to worry about. You know, not a whole lot. But after night comes, buddy, they told us, don't you even go out these doors at night after dark. Because it's so dangerous. Not just there. We preached in Nigeria, West Africa. Same thing. Bishop Epi had hired a guard while I was there. I stayed in his house. And he went around that house all night long till daylight. There's something about darkness. Just people's deeds are evil. They love to do it in the dark. But God said to us, thou shalt not be afraid for the terror of a night. Hallelujah. Amen. I'll tell you one thing. I'm glad that I can put my faith and promise in the scripture. I remember Elder Sister Holmes years ago. We're going back before she was even married. She was living in an apartment, of course, and renting an apartment. And she come in one night after church and she started into her bedroom and she saw the shoe soles, the bottom of men's shoe soles sticking out from under her bed. So she just backed up, went into the next room, knelt down and started praying. And I mean, she prayed and she said, God, I'm thankful that you are my protector. And I know there's a man under my bed and I know this, you're not going to allow him to hurt me because in your name, you'll take care of him. There's no way in Jesus' name that he can harm me. And she went on praying. And she said, if he's here after to hurt me after my body, you're not going to let that happen. The angel of the Lord will take care of that. And if he's here after money, all I've got to my name is $5. Now I'm going to put it on that dresser in the bedroom. And she kept on praying. Well, of course, she got through praying. The window's open. He done got out of there. And when she walked to the dresser, there was a $5 bill laying on top of her $5 bill. Hallelujah. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror of night. Amen. Sister Holmes, and incidentally, I guess she's still living. Hadn't passed away, but she wasn't in her 90s, I guess, now. But she was a woman of faith. And I'll tell you what, that proved her faith, didn't it? Amen. I'm not afraid because you're not going to let it happen, Lord. And of course, he's here and everything. She's praying. Praise God. He figured I better get out of this place for the angel of the Lord strangles me or something. Hallelujah. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day. And of course, that covers a lot of territory, the way it's worded. No, for the arrow that flieth by day, that means any kind of opposition that might come to harm you, hurt you, or whatever. I remember Brother West, he was a policeman in Biloxi, Mississippi. And he got the Holy Ghost in Elder Springer's church, the pastor there at that time, the pastor of the church. And of course, he really got the Holy Ghost. He got born again. Well, he's still on the police force. He was a big man and a heavy, a stocky man, you know. And so he was getting convicted of packing weapons, which, you know, anyone would if they really got the Holy Ghost. And so he's praying about, you know, maybe quitting and getting another job, another prison, whatever. But in the midst of his transition where he's praying, some things happen. And he gets the call that there is a man that's went bananas. And he's in an apartment complex that had, you know, apartments or buildings around there and whatever. And the police had evacuated that whole area because the guy's in a room somewhere in this house. They don't know where he's at, but he knows he's in the house. And he's shooting up everything. I'm with the automatic weapon. He's just shooting at walls and windows. And they got everybody evacuated out of there. Well, guess who they called to take care of the situation? Brother West. As he drove toward that house, he's praying. He said, God, now look. I can't kill this man. That would not be right. But he said, I'll tell you what, I'm putting my trust in you. And I'm going to believe you to take care of this situation. However you take care of it, I'm going to trust in you. Brother West pulls up to that house because everything's kind of quiet now. He's shot up everything around there. And it's kind of quiet, so he don't know which room he's in. Well, there's a hallway through there and rooms on both sides. And so he said, okay, Lord, now I'm going to trust you. I'm not going to shoot this man. And of course, the guys went nuts, I guess, shooting up everything around there. So he's walking through the hall and he's praying, and all once he hears a little noise, and he knows he's in a certain room. He said, "Okay, Jesus, I'm putting my trust in you." Now, Brother West, like I said, was a stocky man, and he backs up, and he knew that door was locked, and he charged that door like to knock it off the hinges. It blew open. And here's that man sitting there, and Brother West was going so fast he couldn't get stopped until he got to the man. He said, "Give me that gun in Jesus' name." He looked and said, "Here." Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, I'll tell you what, sometimes we get in a tight place, but I know the God that'll take care of every situation. Amen. Our shield of protection. He said what? "Thy truth shall be thy shield and buckler." Our shield. What is a shield? A protector. Our defense. Protector, one who protects, or a guardian. The book of Psalms 34:7 said, "The angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear him," and what? "Delivereth them." You know, in Acts chapter 4, verse 20, the apostle said, "We can but speak the things which we've seen and heard." And so that's the reason why I love to give testimonies and messages, to let people know, hey, this Bible's not 2,000 years ago, 4,000, it's now. God is moving and performing miracles now. That's what I loved about Brother Verbal Bean's message. He always brought in things when he made points in the Bible. He would bring in examples that really happened to him or people he knew that would bring it alive. And that's what's so great about all of it. And I got to hurry through this. A lot of testimonies I'll be able to give tonight. But I want to get to the main thrust of this message tonight. So when we look at the scripture, he said, let me back up and read that again. "Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day." Brother Brian Taylor adopted a daughter when she was just a baby. Well, years passed and she grew up. Now she's about 18, 19 years old, raised up in church. Good, strict, holiness, one God church. And so she goes to a quick stop on the way to church. Of course, it's daylight. It's not, you know, winter, it's like summertime. Well, she didn't notice a man standing by her vehicle. So she opens her door, gets in the vehicle, and sits down under the wheel. All at once, that door flies open. That man sits down beside her in the passenger side, puts a gun to her head. And, of course, what he's going to do is rob her. And he said, "Lady, shut the door." Of course, he might have been trying to do more. He might try to rape her. Ain't no telling what in some of these idiots. But anyway, her door's still open. And he says, got the gun on. He said, "Lady, shut the door." She went to reach the door, and the Holy Ghost said, "Leave it open." She dropped her hand. He said, "Hey, lady, I said, shut the door." She reached again, and the Holy Ghost said, "Leave it open." About this time, this fellow's getting nervous, you know, because people around, whatever, to quick stop. And he said, "Hey, are you deaf? I've got a gun. And it's loaded. I said, shut the door." She instantly reached over and put her hand out. "I rebuke you in the name of Jesus Christ, you devil." He went one way and the gun went the other. Hallelujah. He got out of there. Praise God. Well, we have a powerful name of protection. Amen. Proverbs 18:10, "The name of the Lord's a strong tower, and the righteous runneth into it and is safe." That name is a strong tower. Hallelujah. So God said, "Hey, if you'll just stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, you don't have to worry. Not to be afraid for the terror of the night." And I'm not saying not to be cautious. I'm not saying to be stupid. You know what I mean? Some people think because they're trusting God that they can do anything they want to. Well, we got our part to do, then he'll do his part. Amen. If we'll take care of our part, believe me, he'll take care of his part. Amen. So let's read on through the scriptures. Psalms 91:6-8. "Nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday." Now, think about what it's saying here. Again, it mentions darkness, and then it mentions daylight, noonday, okay? "Nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday." You know, it's really amazing, some of the testimonies of what happened even during World War I, World War II, of some of our soldiers in the time of battle, the time of a great war. Of course, you know how all that went. But I was reading, like in World War II, this has been a few years ago, of great testimony. And what it was, this soldier, they were in combat, and they were going toward the enemy, which is firing at them, you know. And all at once, a high-powered bullet hit this soldier because of the surrounding, because they're running, and it made an impact. Boom! Hit him right in the heart area. Dust flew from his fatigue jacket. Of course, he hit the ground. Well, they didn't stop in the midst of this crossfire or whatever, because they, you know, when someone hits with a high powered shell and gets hit in the hard area, goodbye, Charlie. And you're going, you know, you're not going to stop and try to do anything. He's dead. But some of the others running by in a few moments, he began to stir and he opened his eyes and sat up and they said, whoa. And so, of course, they took him and drug him to safety. And what happened was, this man read the Bible. And he had a pocket-sized Bible under his fatigue jacket. And whenever that shell hit him, it hit the Bible. And it stopped in that Bible. The impact, the Bible was so thick, it stopped that bullet. And they said when they took the Bible out, of course, the bullet was still in it, and they began to turn the pages. They went through Genesis and Leviticus and Deuteronomy and on down. And guess when they began pulling the pages and the bullet began to appear there, and the last page where the end of that bullet set was Psalms 91. Praise God. Isn't that amazing? It's just amazing what God does. Sometimes I stand in awe and I say, wow. Yes, praise God. Amen. A brother gave me this here a while back. Fact is, in this church. And I want to read that to you. I had testified about it before and brought it in preaching, but he gave me this, which is from World War I. And what it's called is the 91st Brigade. And it tells what happened on one side, has Psalms 91 on the other side. But I took it and laminated because it's old, so where it wouldn't fall apart on me or disintegrate. So I had it laminated. But let me read you what it says. The 91st Brigade. Now we're talking about World War I here. And believe me, back then, more even soldiers, more God-minded than anybody is now. You know that. And there'd been a big change in America and the world. But listen to what this says. World War I soldiers of the 91st Brigade. Now here's why they call it 91st Brigade. Agreed to recite, because they prayed before they went out to battle every morning. They had a prayer. And they recited this Psalms 91 Psalm. Psalms 91. Every morning. Never failed. Now I'm going to tell you what, God honors His Word with people sometimes, not even in church. Because they believe, they see a part of the book, they believe it, and God honors faith. I don't care who it is. And that's what gets some church people upset, because God did a miracle for someone who didn't go to church. But hey, wouldn't bother me if He did a miracle for everybody in the world. Praise God. I don't want to see anybody sick, anybody dying. I wouldn't care if He healed everybody. We know He's not going to, but healed everybody in the world. Amen, Sister Meyer. Why would we get upset because God's helping somebody? I don't know. I don't understand. But listen, I'm sure not one of these soldiers probably have the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues. Okay? I don't know. All I know is they honored God's Word. And every morning they had that prayer and they recited Psalms 91 before they ever went to battle. Now listen to this. The 91st Brigade, this company that I'm talking about, was engaged in three of the bloodiest battles of World War I. Engaged in three of the bloodiest. And listen to this. While other units, in other words, that were in similarity, while other units engaged in these battles, all three of them, had up to 90% casualties. But the 91st Brigade did not suffer a single combat-related casualty. You think God doesn't honor His Word? You better believe He honors it. That's why I'm sold on it. It's been my protector all these years. When we faced death on every hand, even in the Philippine Islands, when the NPA were killing everybody they could find for Him. But I knew one thing. I was over there in God's will, and I didn't let Him bother me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm serious. We went anywhere that God led us to go, in the mountains or wherever, and I just never thought much about it because God was my protector. Like I said the other morning, not that I'm such a hero or whatever. I just believe if I'm in the will of God and I was there, they can't hurt me. And really, I guess they never tried it. They didn't know about it. Oh, they'd come to us up in the mountain and say, what are y'all doing? You know, they wanted to find out what we was up to. We started talking to them about the Lord. They never did bother us. Amen. And you know what? I'll get off of this. But the NPA, New People's Army is what it's called. They were really what we called the Patriot Uprising here in America, you know. And they started with good intentions way back. I don't know when they started, back in the 60s, maybe in the Philippines, that formed the New People's Army. They call it NPA. And the reason they formed it was they got tired of the dictatorship in a nation like that, of their soldiers, the Philippine soldiers coming to their villages and raping their women, stealing their food, doing anything they wanted. Because those nations are unarmed. It's against the law of the Philippines and all these nations for a citizen of that nation to be armed with any kind of weapon. You know that. Okay, so what happened? Well, the soldiers had full control. They come into those villages, and those average citizens never had weapons, you know, so they couldn't defend themselves. So in the process of this, through the years, they formed what they call the New People's Army. But they formed it in the natural for a good cause. But as they begin to grow and spread, the communists stepped in and began to support them. Communists started to support them financially. And of course, you know what happened. A lot of them turned toward communism. But even through that, and we were in dangerous places. I'm telling you, dangerous places. We'd be riding on a bus, come around a curve, and where Marcos's soldiers and the NPA had an all-out war, skirmish, whatever you want to call it. They'd be body parts, a head laying over here, arms over here, legs over here, scattered everywhere, where they had killed them and just cut their bodies up, like butchering a hog or something. And believe me, but I never let it bother me. I knew one thing. I was in the will of God. God had sent me there. He opened the doors, and I wasn't going to let the NPA or nobody else stop me. Amen. And I got a threatening letter. When I was teaching about that, I've got a copy of that letter somewhere, but I didn't have this really mine tonight, but it just come to me. But I've got the letter where an NPA, or at least said they were, signed by an NPA sergeant, army man, you know, NPA. And he said, if you come over here again, we're forced to kill you. Wrote me a letter. Sent it to my address. Lived in Columbia, Tennessee then. And, of course, I read that letter. You know, Sister Vicki didn't look too exciting. He said, if you come over again, we're forced to kill you, is how he put it. And signed an NPA. Of course, I don't know if he's NPA or who signed it. All I know, it wasn't the best letter I ever read in my life. So a few months later, I was going back over there after I received the letter. And you know what was amazing was, of course, I don't know how he even got my address. I don't know what the deal was. All I know is, you better believe I prayed, but I went. I didn't let that stop me. And all the time over there, it never did bother me in any place. Because everywhere I went, I claimed Psalms 91. God said, nor for the destruction that wasteth that noonday. In other words, I'm going to take care of you if you will believe my word. Hallelujah. 1,000 shall fall. It didn't say might. It said shall. Shall means positively, must be, has to be. 1,000 shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand. Folks, altogether, this prophecy has not yet been fulfilled. Now, the 91st Brigade could say that in one way, okay? But overall, this prophecy is yet to be fulfilled as far as nationwide or worldwide. Because they could say that. They had, like I said, the other companies never recited Psalm 91. Other companies that never prayed, whatever, before they went to battle, they lost up to 90% casualties. But God honored this 91st Brigade by honoring His word. And so you could look at that just momentarily and say, yeah, there may have been thousands killed around us, but it didn't come to us. But overall, this has not yet been fulfilled. Think about what it's saying. 1,000 shall fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. That's God's promise. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. That prophecy, I repeat, is yet to be fulfilled overall. Let's read 9 and 10. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. And if we have done that tonight, if all of us have done that, then we can claim what the next scripture says. 9 said, let me read it again. Because thou hast made the Lord, the writer said, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. In other words, like I said a while ago, dwelleth, ETH, continuation of you there. In and out today and in tomorrow and backslid the next week and in the next week. You're there. That's your place of habitation. You're faithful in God. Then if we do that, what did he say? There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. I testified the other night concerning this scripture. We hadn't even got to it yet, about the Hong Kong flu, if you remember, at the church. Not one person in that church of 90 or 100 people, whatever it was, got the Hong Kong, because he stood and joined hands, said, we rebuke it. We claim Psalms 91. Because he said, neither shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. I remember, I hadn't had the Holy Ghost all that long, like maybe a couple of months, and it was the same winter I received it, the first week of November of 67, so probably January or 68, February, whatever. But I'm praying one morning, and chicken pox is rampant. All the children are getting it throughout that congregation. And when I'm praying and talking to the Lord, and I always prayed from 45 minutes to an hour before I went to my tour of duty and federal meat inspection. So that meant I had to get up like 3:15 every morning. And that'll make a short night in your life, believe me. But I'm praying this morning, because chicken pox scattered over. Well, Donald Ray wasn't born yet. Before he was born, he wasn't born until 70. And this is probably 68, 69, I'm guessing. But I know it was before he was born, because we only had the four girls. And I'm praying, and of course, they're small. And as I'm praying, Psalms 91 and this verse, verse 10, came down before me like a scroll. I'm going to tell you what, that hit my faith. And I said, okay, God, I believe in you. I claim what you said. Neither shall any plague come nigh my dwelling. As far as I'm concerned, chicken pox and all that mess is a plague I don't have to have. You promised it in the book. Amen. But when I went through that, listen, God being my witness, every child except my four girls in that congregation come down with chicken pox. But not one of those four got one little blotch on their heads, faces. Hallelujah. You think God won't honor this word? Do you think he won't honor this word? Try him. In Malachi 3, 8 through 10, he said, prove me concerning tithes and offerings. If we can prove him with that, we can prove him with everything else. He challenges us, prove me now with, saith the Lord. See if I open you the windows of heaven, pour you out a blessing, let me be room to receive it. In tithing, God not only promised us a multiplication of our finances back, multiplied back, but everywhere you read that, there is a righteous blessing, a spiritual blessing connected with the natural. Isn't that great? If God didn't even multiply money back or natural things, the righteous, the spiritual blessing would be worth it all. But he promised both throughout anywhere you read in the scripture. All right, I got to hurry along. Verse 11 and 12. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all. How much is all? I think that's 100%, isn't it? In all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. We quoted Psalms 34:7 a while ago. The angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear him, and what? Delivereth them. We have seen the angel of the Lord deliver in so many instances through the years. And one thing about it, if you have had that experience, you know this. When you hit a crisis, or it could be a death situation, when the angel of the Lord takes over, your conscious mind goes blank. You do not know how he did it. And there are testimonies of Brother Bobby Chandler, Brother Mike Couch, some of those men, that they had vehicles coming straight toward them head on. At a high rate of speed. They had nowhere to go. A semi blocking here, and they couldn't get around it. And they couldn't get out of that left lane. And their minds momentarily just blanked out. Just a few seconds, what moments, whatever. And when they came to their senses, the car that was coming straight at them is going behind them. And they don't know how it got past them or over them. Brother Lee Stone King told of a brother and sister the same incident happened to. And of course there was a high speed vehicle coming straight toward them. They wouldn't know where they could go. A semi was right here and he couldn't brake enough for them to get in front of him. And of course what they said, like most, Jesus. And guess what happened? When they come to their senses, of course their mind momentarily blanked out. When they come to their senses, the car or truck, it was a truck on this case, that was fixing to hit them head on was behind them. Well, the truck driver, he speeded up and blowed the horn, you know, the semi horn, fog horn, I call it, whatever, at them and motioned them over. They pulled over and the driver pulled over, of course, parked, and he got out and said, what have you got in that vehicle? They said, what do you mean? He said, that truck, I know I couldn't get out of your way. I couldn't let you through. There wasn't nothing I could do. So I know that. Said, when that truck got close to you, it's coming head on. It couldn't stop. And evidently, y'all couldn't stop. Not you say stop on a dime, it wouldn't happen. But he said, when it got close to you, you went up over, this vehicle went up over that truck and come back down in the road. Of course, they didn't know that because, like I said, their mind blanked out momentarily. And I've had that happen in my life 3 or 4 times. That if the angel of the Lord hadn't worked or come on the scene, it would have been over. There'd have been no way. In Chicago, Illinois, I was driving a Volkswagen back in those days to work around Chicago. I didn't care much about driving a long ways on the highway, but I made a good little car around, down to the pool where I picked up the government car each day and drove it. And, of course, then picked my private car up, the little Volkswagen. And one night, I noticed I was having trouble with the brakes. It just started all at once. One moment I would have brakes, and the next moment I wouldn't. It's kind of weird. So you didn't know when it was going to work and when it wasn't. Kind of eeny, meeny, miny, mo thing. Praise God. So I'm taking it easy going home. I'm going to get it home, so the next day I'll drive my other car, whatever, to the pool, to pick up the government car. And I said, I can get it fixed. I'm going to get it fixed as soon as I can. I'm not driving in a dangerous condition like that, but I was trying to get it home, okay? Evening time, about 5 o'clock, I'm on Halstead Street. Never forget it. And Halstead Street in Chicago runs north and south. And I'm going along with the flow of the traffic, okay? And all at once, now I'm keeping 2 or 3 car lengths between me and the vehicle in front of me, because I'm not trusting them brakes, no way. And you might know it, all at once, here he comes, right out of a side street, right in front of me. Well, I hit the brakes, you do that automatically without thinking, and guess what? It felt, now I know it didn't, but it felt like the Volkswagen lurched faster. Because that brake pedal went right to the floor. Jesus, instantly, you call on that name. My mind blanked out. When I come to, I was sitting in an empty parking lot. Now, I don't know how God did it. And I'm facing the traffic. And it's going by like nothing happened. I said, thank you, Jesus. Amen. I don't know how he got me. Because there ain't no way I could have kept from hitting that car. There ain't no way. It's impossible. But God likes to take the things that are impossible and make them possible. Luke 1:37 said, with him, God, nothing shall be impossible. Amen. The first encounter I ever had with an angel, just had received the Holy Ghost a few weeks before. And that morning I started, it was dark. Federal meat inspection, I had to be to work usually in inspecting the plants 5 o'clock in the morning. Because you imagine wintertime, what you got? I'd have to leave the house at 4 or before, whatever, about probably 4 o'clock if I had a 5 o'clock start. And I never noticed it being this bad. It's wintertime. And what happened, an ice storm, and I'm talking about an ice storm, big time, had hit. Well, I noticed, around home it was ice, but I didn't know it was that bad. And so I got on the road. Now, it's dark. And I'm in that Volkswagen. Well, I made it pretty good. I didn't, try to break any speed records, I promise you, on ice. But I got to the hill that goes down to go on Interstate 55 into Chicago. Everything worked fine until I got to that hill. This is the first experience I had with an angel. And all at once, when I started down that hill, the engine being in the back decided it wanted to be in the front. So you can imagine what happened. I'm going like this, the car is. And I'm going now sideways down an icy hill, and here's 2 headlights coming. They're not even slowing down, straight for me, making a run to get up the hill. Well, naturally, everything happened so quick. Like I said, instantly without thinking, you say, Jesus. And that angel took a hold of the back of that Volkswagen. I felt it when it kind of gave it a jerk. And it straightened that Volkswagen, pulled it back up straight, just as that vehicle, well, I don't remember if it was a truck or a car, but it was coming on, went by me. I said, thank you, Jesus. I had a praise service all the way into Chicago. Hallelujah. You better know that. You're not going to pull a heavy engine back up on your own. No matter what you do. So that was my first experience with an angel. And of course, we've had other experiences since then, thank God. I bought a 57 Oldsmobile that was really a classic. It was, 12 years old then. And it was almost like brand new. Still had, remember the year, the cars, some of y'all, back in the 50s, when you bought a new one, they had plastic seat cover things over to protect the seats. Remember that? This still had the plastic seat covers on it. It was a beautiful vehicle. An attorney downtown Chicago had it, and somebody where I was working told me about it, and I investigated and ended up buying it at a good price. Well, it looked like a brand new car. Well, I'm driving it. Of course, it was a second car for me, but I was driving it, and where I was working in Federal Meat Specs at that time, there was a young Catholic young man that I begin to witness to, because he helped me. Like if I wanted samples pulled out of boxes on a load of boxes, you know, meat, whatever, then he was selected by the company to pull them out and help me to open them up and then I could examine them. So I spent a lot of time with him. And I got telling him about the Holy Ghost, got telling him about the miracles of God and the healing going on in the church. And he got to where when I would come in on a Monday morning to go to the governor's office, he's waiting on me. He'd say, "Doc, how many got healed last night?" He was all excited. But he was with me when this happened. And I know I wasn't going home because I was going the other direction. I was taking him somewhere, but I have no idea where. I'm going out 8094 South, okay? And going with the traffic. At probably about 35 miles an hour, you know, when your house blocked up, the more further you get out, the more it begins to move. And I'm guessing 35 miles an hour would be probably a proper speed, give or take a few miles maybe. But we're rolling along with the traffic. Maybe might have been 40 miles an hour, but it's moving on pretty good now. All at once, I hit a dip in that expressway. When I did, the steering wheel jumped off into my hands. Kim Osabe. He talking about standing still to see the salvation of the Lord. I'm praying. He's looking out the window. And I don't see where the Lord ever got any driver's license in this Bible. But he drove better than any human could. I'm holding the steering wheel and it ain't hooked up. And the Lord, get this. Now we're in three lanes of traffic south, three lanes in. We're in the middle lane. And traffic bumper to bumper. And God, okay, I'm not holding nothing. I'm just sitting there praying. Lord, thank you for getting me out of this fix. And God opens the traffic in the right lane. And I'm not touching it. I won't hit the brakes. I knew better than that. They'd throw you into whatever if they're not, you know. So he opens the traffic on the right, opens it, and pulls this vehicle over that I'm in and takes it over. Don't even scrape, you know, the guardrail, and takes it over there where there's no traffic. Of course, you know, the area there next to the guardrail, and stops it. I don't touch nothing. Well, when it stopped, I don't know what he was looking at all that time. Something must have been interesting. But when the vehicle stopped, he realized, said, "What are you doing?" I said, "Here," I handed him the steering wheel. He like to went through that window and it rolled up, praise God. But I told that boy, that young man, I said, "Listen, I've been telling you about miracles and witnessed to you about all these things and the Holy Ghost and all." I said, "I'll tell you one thing, buddy. You better thank God that you was in a vehicle where the angel of the Lord was encamped around about it. Or you and I'd be down here under semis or what, I rolled up like a ball of steel. We'd never seen daylight again." I said, "You better thank God he was in a vehicle that the angel of the Lord was encamped around about." He said, I do. I thank God. Amen. Well, I'll tell you what. I thank God too. Because, amen, that angel's a pretty good driver, isn't he? Praise God. Now I tell you what, boy, when it's out of our hands, what are you going to do? Let God take over. What else can you do? You can do. Now God expects us to do what we can do in our abilities. But other than that, forget it. When it's out of our abilities, there ain't nothing we can do. Amen. So it said, "He shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways." Hallelujah. And there's so many. I'll go on. There are so many testimonies we could give even on that. I need to give you one more. I've got the newspaper clipping on this from Dallas, Fort Worth, Texas. Okay. In fact, it's a Fort Worth newspaper. A brother Mark Hamby back in the 70s, the pastor there in Fort Worth, Texas. And what it was, there was a couple of brethren in that church that flew an airplane, and they flew Brother Hamby. It's just a small, you know, private plane. They flew Brother Hamby from Fort Worth up to Ohio, where he was going to preach a week's camp meeting, conference, what do you want to call it? I hadn't figured the difference out in all of them yet. Some call it camp meeting, some conference, some anniversary service. They're all the same to me, just different names. But, okay, they flew him there. Now, coming back into Fort Worth, now it's getting nighttime. And all at once, for whatever reason, the engine of that plane caught on fire. Well, now they cannot see. It's getting dark. They can't see what's beneath them. Like if it was daytime, you can pretty well, you know, maybe maneuver around a little bit. They can't see anything. It's going down. And they knew this. There wasn't much they could do because they can't see even what's happening. And then one thing, that plane, you let that burn long enough, the whole thing's going to blow. So they're going down. And you better believe one thing. They're calling on the name of Jesus Christ. Now, they put this in the Fort Worth newspaper, that secular paper. It wasn't a religious paper, a secular paper. And they didn't knock it. They just told what those two brothers testified, okay? So the plane goes down, naturally, and the engine's air is burning. And when it went down, it went between two trees, which both wings hit the trees and knocked them up, the wings. But all at once, of the force of the speed of that plane going down, it felt like superhuman hands took a hold of it, and like that, and just gently set it down on the ground. Of course, by then, they had it open, and they were bailing out of there and running. And it wouldn't be too easy to run in the woods at dark, but they were doing the best they could. And all at once, the Holy Ghost, you know, just kind of compelled them, what do you want to call it? And both of them turned around. And each wing, there was a man holding it. Of course, you know what that was. The angel of God on each wing. And the angels backed up. And when those wings went down, that plane blew into smithereens. Hallelujah. That was such a testimony. They put it in the Fort Worth newspaper. And I don't have it with me tonight, but somewhere in my files, I've got the copy of the story and the picture of the plane. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm glad I know who I'm serving, don't you? I'm glad for an assurance policy tonight. Amen. An assurance policy. It's better than all the insurance we could ever buy. Hallelujah. Okay, let's wind it down. Psalms 91:13, reading down. Read the rest of it. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder. The young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Get this. Because he hath set his love upon me. God is speaking through the writer. You know, folks, when you read the scriptures, sometimes, especially in the Old Testament, sometimes a writer will be writing and referring to the Lord, and then the scripture will just kick in, and God speaks through that writer himself. And then it may switch back to the writer speaking again, if you notice that. And here, the writer has been speaking, but now here, God begins to speak through himself, through the writer. And he said, because he has set his love upon me, God said, therefore will I deliver him. Wow. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. I'm glad I know the name of Jesus Christ. I know the power that's in that name. In that name, my sins were remitted. In that name, devils are cast out. In that name, diseases are healed. In that name, the dead has been raised to life again. And on through the power of the name of Jesus Christ. And right here he said that. I will deliver him. I'll set him on high. Why? Because he hath known my name. Now listen to what he said in closing. Our assurance policy certificate here. Listen to what he said. Because he has set his love upon me, remember, therefore will I deliver him. Why? I repeat, I'll set him on high because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will. He didn't say there's a possibility, I could. He said, I will answer him. I like these wills and shalls, don't you?
Yes, sir.
Amen. Brother Tim, I like all of them because they're positive. It's not beating around the bush, it is positive. If God said it, I've just got to believe it. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and shew him my salvation. I will deliver him. The angel of the Lord. Now, I'm sure I testified this before, but some of you did that hadn't heard it. Back about 3 years ago, over in the Philippines, Brother Hubert and I and Brother Killakill, our interpreter, we're on a palm boat. Now, if you don't know what a palm boat is, it's a small boat, but they have large ones, but this was a small one. Fact is, it was a fisherman's boat. So it would be smaller than the commercial palm boats, okay? And here's a picture more like here, because this is painted real pretty, but this is a palm boat. Has outriggers on both sides where it can't turn over, okay? Now, here's a picture of one. It's not the actual boat, but I had pictures taken that I don't have them with me tonight, but taken of the actual boat later on that night, okay? But this is what the boat looks like, this type boat, a palm boat, they call it, okay? We were preaching at the Christian school and went through the Christian school graduation and all of that on Sunday afternoon. And the big boat we took only run every 24 hours. But we wanted to get back, Brother Hubert and I, to Cebu City because our convention started on Monday night, the next night. Now, this is Sunday. So Brother Kill said, no problem. I've got a friend that's a commercial fisherman. He's got a palm boat. And this is Sunday. He's not out fishing on Sunday. So what he'll do, you know, we can pay him some money, whatever. And he'll take us to the port of Danao, which is the entrance in from the sea, the entrance into Cebu City. And so we said, okay, fine. So we get on this palm boat. It's like we're running late anyway. And they held the services really more than they could have, but you know, what do you do? And we got started late. We was going to get to the port of Danao before it got dark, for whatever reason. And we got started late. Everything went real good for a while. There was no storms. There was no humongous waves. You know, it's just normal ocean. And believe me, there's waves in the normal ocean, no matter if there ain't no wind or whatever. So we're doing pretty good. And we noticed, because I'm sitting in the front of the boat, next to the front, Brother Hubert's sitting in the very front. Brother Killakill, there's a place like a platform up behind where I'm sitting down on the front. And Brother Killakill's sitting up behind me, okay? And I know, you know, these are commercial fishermen, so there are three of them running a boat. And I knew one thing, they knew what they was doing, because that's their life out on the ocean. And I would notice, you know, when a big wave, I say a big wave, is out of the way wave, start coming, they would shut down. When it almost got to that boat, they would shut down the throttle, and they would kind of turn it a little sideways. Not altogether sideways, but I call it canter corner. And when that wave picked that boat up, they would rev that engine wide open. And when it come down in the ocean, they had her going. But right at dusk, we was about a mile to 2 miles from shore, over about 200 feet of water. And all at once, they ran out of fuel. Now, I know they knew that would happen because they had a 5-gallon container of fuel on that little palm boat. Okay, so that the engine's dead. And I'm sitting at the front. I'm not even looking at the back. You can hear what they're doing. They pour the diesel fuel into the tank. And now they're trying to start it. You know, why it wouldn't start, I have no idea. But at that precise moment, just a few moments past of them starting, I mean, without warning, there was no big waves. There was no reason. It's almost impossible to turn one of these boats over. And that boat flipped instantly upside down in the ocean. I mean, if something happens like that, your brain doesn't register it. It doesn't, because you're saying this can't, in swift seconds of time, this can't be happening. You know, if we was rocking and rolling and going up on waves and jumping up, sure, you'd say, whoa, wait. But hey, everything was calm. And all at once, upside down in that ocean. Well, I didn't know what had happened. All wretched in my mind was this, and it wretched and still wretches. I seen the boat flipping over. And your mind wouldn't comprehend what's going on, okay? But the angel of the Lord took over. And my mind went blank. I do not remember anything except I see the palm boats turning over upside down. That's all I remember. It's impossible for you, if you was alert and a good swimmer, and I can hardly swim at all. Brother Kill could not swim a lick, okay? But it would be impossible, however good a swimmer you are, when this boat flips instantly, for you to catch this outrigger, which is a good ways from the boat, to balance it. There ain't no way you could catch that on your own. But the angel of the Lord just took me under, put my hands on the outrigger, which when the boat come up upside down, I'm on the opposite side of the boat. In other words, I'm on the outrigger that was on that side, now it's on this side, because the boat's upside down. And naturally, when that happens, I come back to my conscious, and I'm hanging on to the outrigger. And the first thing, Brother Hubert's back on the boat, it threw him plumb out, and he swam back. And the first thing he was saying, now it's dark. Where's Brother Kilkey? Where's Brother Kilkey? I said, I don't know. And all at once, I felt him come up beside me. Well, he's still under the water. And so I'm hanging on to an outrigger with this arm, and I'm trying to get a hold of Brother Kilkey with the other. And all at once, he comes up above the water. And you talk about miracles. Brother Kilkey was trapped under the boat. Remember, he was setting up behind me. He had what we call one of them plastic bags, they call it leather bags, you know, with the straps, with actually vinyl. But he was holding that, sitting up there. And when that boat flipped so fast, the handles or the straps, you might say, of that bag that he was carrying, holding his lap, caught on, which was the bottom, but now it's on the top above him, and the straps caught on something up there was holding him. Now, he cannot swim a lick, so if he lets go of the bag, he drowns. If he holds to it, he drowns. But the angel of the Lord went under. This angel's a pretty good swimmer, I found out. And he unhooks that bag and pushes Brother Killikill out. Now, Brother Killikill had some water in his lungs. A few more moments, he'd have been dead. I did not. It happened so swift, I didn't know what happened. I knew I'd been under salt water because I could taste it in my mouth, you know. And that's all I knew. I didn't know what, you know, it took a little while. Brother Reg tried to figure out what happened. You know what I mean? It happened so quick. And then, you know, you begin to get your senses back. Okay, now it's dark. There we are, a mile, 2 miles from shore. And Brother Deason told me later, said, Brother Lance, you do know that that water is shark infested. Well, I'm glad I didn't know it then, because that didn't give the devil something to make me panic or whatever, which I probably wouldn't have anyway in all that action. But anyway, I didn't think about any sharks, believe me. But get this, okay, we're now up on the boat. I'd say 20 minutes passed, and all at once the boat starts going under, sinking. Jesus, it reversed, floated right back up. And it floated till we, and what they were doing, the three men, because they were ranked sinners, were in the boat. And one of them, all that was left, the big light they were flashing with into shore like they do, it was the bottom of the ocean. And one of them had a cigarette lighter. And that cigarette lighter had a little blue light on the bottom of it. And so they used that little blue light somehow as a warning, because it's pitch dark and you could see it for a ways. And they're yelling something in Cebuano, which I know what it would be in English, like Mayday, Mayday. In other words, trouble. We're in danger. We are in trouble. Emergency. Mayday, Mayday. Well, the fishermen, now you think our boat was small. You ought to see the ones they picked us up with. It was half as big as the one that flipped on us. And it's fishermen. Of course, now it's dark and all the fishermen, commercial fishermen coming in, right, for the evening. And, of course, they had nets spread on that one that they put me on. And I just spread eagle that net on that little boat. Because, I mean, it was so small. I didn't see how anybody got on it. And, of course, through that, they took us to shore. Well, God worked miracles through that, not just saving our lives. But, Brother Hubert, for the expense of the conference convention, for the expense of the food for the convention, for half the fare of the ministers for the convention, $3,000 was in the bag. All of our bags, everything we had, went under. Under to the floor. But get this. Those men running the boat. Now it's pitch dark. They must have eyes like owls. They went under that ocean and retrieved every bag, everything we had, and brought it back. I had a brand new Bible. I kept the Bible because it ruined it. I'd only preached out of one time and it went under with the bag that I was carrying. Amen. But get this. There was $3,000. Now, these guys didn't know that. They probably would never brought the bag back. I know they wouldn't. They know that. They just retrieved and brought them back. And Brother Hubert, and we got to the hotel later that night. Now, this money is soaked with salt water, right? $2,000 of American money was converted to pesos, Philippine pesos. And at that time, it was like 52 to 1. So you can imagine the paper he had in 2,000 American dollars, plus 1,000 American dollars, okay? So in the motel room, there's a fan, and he takes this money, and he spreads it on the bed, spreads it on the dresser, all over everything, and is trying to dry it out. And I told him, I said, you better hope someone don't come in, or they're going to get us for laundering money. Hallelujah. We're going to be in big, bad trouble. Praise God. But what did the Lord say? Amen. I claim, you know, in the time of trouble, folks, that's what I got to claim. He said, what about trouble? He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver and honor him. Will deliver him and honor him. So I'm as a living witness tonight, folks. God will do what he said. If you and I will do our part now, that's the thing. A lot of people won't do their part, so they can't expect God to do much for them. But if we'll do our part, live for God with everything we got, line up to everything we know is right, then God, by his own word, will move for us. Take care of us. I'll be with him in trouble. Be with him in trouble. Be with him in trouble. Let me close with a couple of things tonight. I'm still talking about our assurance policy. Our assurance policy. And believe me, it is much, much, much better than any insurance policy you could ever buy, no matter how much money you pay for it. Hallelujah. Because this assurance policy is great. It works. Hallelujah. Sister Nona Freeman, some of you probably read her books. Someone's asking about that the other day. I'll have to remember who it was. And was it Sister Vicky? Was she talking about it? Okay. And when I get home, I'll try to send her those I got because I've read them. She'll keep them. And you talk about excitement. Because they spent their lives in Africa, okay, as foreign missionaries. Now, she just passed away just recently. She was, what, in her early 90s at least. Now, we're going back before they're married. They're going with each other, liking each other, you know, and thinking about marriage. But she had a burden for foreign missions, and he had a burden for foreign missions, and they didn't want to tell each other because they thought each other wouldn't marry each other because they didn't want to go to a foreign field. Isn't that amazing? Praise God. But finally, something happened and opened it up where, you know, said, you know, they begin to mention each other. And yeah, they both had the burden. So they got married. So they hadn't been married very long, and they're in Arkansas preaching a brush arbor. She is staying, and I'd have to go back and listen to the testimony again. It's on a tape. Now, I was there when she taught this and sent it to Massillon, Kentucky, when she's bringing it out. And so I got the tapes, and there's awesome testimonies on those tapes while they were in Africa. And Brother Freeman was out in a wooded area, you know, and he rode a horse back there to pray, had a prayer meeting back there. And he come back to the house, and he told Sister Nona Freeman, he said, honey, he said, have him saddle one of them horses, because the people there on that farm they were staying with had, of course, horses on them. And she didn't want to get on it. She didn't like horses. She was kind of afraid of him. She didn't trust him. But he talked her into it. Okay, this horse is gentle. Gentle. You know how that goes. So they saddled the horse. Got everything fixed. When she got on that horse's back, it went ape. Bad for a horse to go ape, isn't it, folks? It threw her off and stomped her before they could get her out of there or get it off of her with its front hooves. It paralyzed her from her waist down. They took her in the house. And of course, she's a woman of faith. She was a woman of faith all of her life. And she said, okay, God, there's nothing I can do with this. But you're the healer. I am believing you to heal and restore my body. Okay? And all night long, she laid on a little bunk in there paralyzed. And the scripture, she said herself, I heard the testimony in person, plus I got it on tape somewhere. All night long, she kept the scripture rolling over in her mind. She kept quoting it. Faith without works is dead, being alone. Faith without works is dead, being alone. Faith without works is dead, being alone. The next morning, she was excited. She asked the lady of the house, whoever she might have in her relation, I do not remember even who it was right now, but I know they wasn't in church. And she asked her, will you do me a favor? She said, yes, if I can. She said, I want you to set me up, because she's paralyzed from here down. I want you to set me up on this little bed, cot, whatever she was on, bunk, and get my house slippers and put them on, because she had no feeling, right? And then she said this, if you will, get a hold of both hands, and when I tell you, now, pull me out of here instantly. She said, okay, I'll try to do it. She got her set up, got her house slippers on her, and Sister Freeman got a hold of her hands, and she said, now, when she pulled her up, instantly God completely healed her, and all the feeling came back. Everything was normal. But that's not the end of the story. Years later in Africa, get this, I'll show you how my God is a miracle worker. Years later, she went, and I don't remember why. I'd have to go, like I say, listen to testimony again. Some of it I do not remember. I should remember the main part of it. But whatever reason, she went and got an x-ray. And when that doctor, the chiropractor, whoever was, come out, he said, Mrs. Freeman, when was your back broken? She said, well, doctor, my back's never been broken. Brother Freeman said, honey, remember the horse? She said, that's right, doctor. That could have happened by a horse that stomped on me on the ground. He said, it's been broken, believe me. I want to know who your doctor was. Because the place it was broken, it's impossible. You'd been an invalid the rest of your life. It's impossible. You can't put it back. You can't fuse it. She said, my doctor was Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. I love my assurance policy. Folks, let's all stand. I got to close. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Fact is, let's lift our hands and praise our God right now. Lord, we thank you, Father. Jesus, for your word, for your promises, oh God. Yea, Lord, for protecting us, keeping us, God, leading us and guiding us, oh Lord, through the dangerous paths of our life, through the places, God, that's not even, yea, worthy to work in, God, that you have kept us. Yea, that your hand has been on us in the times of trouble, in the times of sorrow, in times we didn't know which way to turn, oh God, that you have given us, yea, and promised us the things that you've given us in our assurance policy. And Lord, we've seen you bring it to pass. We've seen it happen time and time again. Lord, we don't ever want you to think that we're unthankful. Because Lord, we thank you for every little thing. We thank you for the greater things. We thank you for everything, Lord. You're so good to us. We praise you. We magnify you, Father. In the mighty power of the Holy Ghost, the name of Jesus Christ. Oh God, we give you the praise. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. If you're here tonight, you need healing. Or you need the baptism of the Holy Ghost, let God fill you tonight. He will confirm His word, as I preach everywhere about that we've been. He will confirm His word, both with signs, wonders, and diverse miracles, and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to His own will. And that's according to Hebrews chapter 2, verse 4. Mark 16:20 said, they went and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, and confirming the word with signs following. He wants to confirm this word tonight with signs following. Hallelujah. You want the Holy Ghost tonight? God's here to fill you right now. He will confirm this word. If you're hungry, you've repented, and you know that God is on your side, why don't you let God do something for you? You need healing in your body? We're going to believe God to confirm this word tonight. I know the message wasn't totally on the stripes of healing, whatever. But hey, he said he would confirm this word. He didn't say you had to just be preaching healing. Thank God for message of healing. But he didn't say you had to just be preaching that to get healed. He said he'll confirm this word. So any part of this word, he will confirm it. And I feel faith here tonight, even in the heart of this congregation. So look, don't walk out of here without God touching you tonight. Whatever you have need of, let him do it. Amen. That's what it's all about. Why do we preach the word and then just walk out and leave God? We need to see results. We need to see Him confirm the word. But if we won't let Him, it's not His fault. He's wanting to. I promise you. Praise God. I feel the Holy Ghost, folks. God is here in a great way. Hallelujah. I'm going to just say that. If I don't feel it, I'm not going to say much. But I'm telling you, the power of God's in this place right now. Amen. Faith is lifted high. And let God do something for you. You have a financial problem, a problem with a job or a position or whatever. Doesn't matter. Having problems in marriage, having this, having that, could be a zillion things. But hey, God's here to take care of every situation. He is here tonight to touch you and to mend your hearts and to do something in your life. Believe me, He wants to confirm this word tonight. But if we don't want Him to, He'll just stand back and say, okay, go ahead. But I want Him to confirm this word. In my life, don't you? Every one of us have some kind of needs here tonight. Amen. Could be, like I said, many things. And I'm believing God to fulfill my need personally. I'm thanking you for it right now, Jesus. Not exactly just one need, but there is a major need, a major in my life. And I'm believing God to perform it. I'm claiming it by the word of God in the name of Jesus Christ tonight. Hallelujah. Plus the other needs to be met. Let's claim the victory, church. What you have need of, let God do it right now. What do you want Him to do? What do you need Him to do? Prove Him. We can prove Him. He challenges, prove Him in tithes and offerings. What about proving Him this? Prove Him with Psalms 91. Prove Him with the Word of God. Shapra kasata ramaha. Yila brakala satalamaka. Rataraporosi Libra Kayalan Monake. Sharabahaya Kotelamai. Yea, for I would even speak to thee this night, saith the Lord. Yea, my hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither my ear heavy that it cannot hear. My people know that the Lord thy God desires to move in thy midst like never before. Yea, put your life into my hands, and I shall lead thee. Give me your all, saith the Lord. Seek me early, seek me late. Seek me with all your heart, and I, the Lord thy God, shall move in thy life. I shall fill thee with my spirit. Yea, I shall answer your petitions, saith the Lord. For I shall confirm my word. Yea, I will not go back on that which I've spoken, but I shall confirm it. So my people, look unto me, the Lord thy God, and let me move within thy souls. Let me move in thy lives. For I am the Lord thy God that bought thee with a price. Yea, I have called thee, and I will choose thee if thou wilt follow on to know me in the fullness of my glory and the fullness of my truth, saith the Lord. Yea, my people, look up, for the Lord thy God's hand is upon thee, and I desire to lead thee into deeper things. Yea, that thou can walk in deeper paths and have deeper revelations of my word, saith the Lord. I am the Lord thy God that chose thee. Thou art not here but chance tonight. You're here because I have chosen you to be here tonight. Yea, I have chosen and called you and led you to be here, right here tonight. Yea, let me work in thy life, for I am the Lord thy God that has set thee free from this world, and as my hand is upon thee, yea, allow me to lead thee in to the fullness of all things, saith the Lord. Hakura bahaya shebrekete. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Ramakasha rubaka ilarima. Puroba sacramen lebekra. Rubaha rekosata. Jesus, Jesus, we need you. Mighty God, we need you. Mahoramaka. Yea, by your power. Yea, by your glory. Lord Jesus, touch every heart here tonight. Oh God, let us respond to your call. Hallelujah to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.